This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 12th of November 1953. The title of this lecture is Gradient Scale Straight Wire. This tape is 42 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is the second part of November 12th afternoon lecture. You get one of these gradient scales running, it'll take care of almost anything. Now, let's take this ball of fire that's coming in there. It's so hot. How could you have handled that by gradient scale rather than handle it like I did? Which is just the hell with it. let it blow up. Curious scientific experiment. Facsimiles contain enough energy to blow off people's heads or legs. I mean, you write it down. Write it down in the case book. You put the date on it and the time that it happened. Scientific report always has the date and the time it happened. That makes it an authentic report. You don't have to have the material that did happen, authentic or factual, but make sure that it's got a file number, a case number, and preferably witnessed by somebody who wasn't there. And then you say that there's 10 such cases. You give those different file numbers and so forth, and you've done research like they do at the Ford Foundation. Anyway. They're not doing that at the Ford Foundation. They haven't progressed to that point yet. They've only been in operation about 3 years. You know, they're supposed to solve the problem of the human mind. I don't know how many millions and millions and millions of dollars they've got doing it. And they were started before Dianetics was published. And they've been in existence all these 3 years, and they're still looking for a problem of the human mind. We even trained one of them down there, and, well, he didn't know. He still doesn't. Anyway, I think it's a good joke, by the way. A good joke. Typical of this society. Here's...
Human money yet.
Huh?
They haven't solved the problem of human money yet. That's what they're trying to solve. They think it's human money.
Ah, human money. That is a good problem. How do you solve that problem?
No scarcity.
Now... It's like they solve traffic. They hire traffic experts these days. I was up with Philadelphia the other day taking a look at its traffic snarls. Did I say traffic snarls? I mean, I was taking a look at its at the automobile paved streets. And I looked him over and went down and a little closer to take a look at which way these streets were running. And then I did a mock-up of a stream of water flowing over the same pattern. And the same eddies occur in water. You know, it's just a particle flow. As occur with these automobiles, with the same jams and same eddies. Well, you can figure one-way streets going opposite. You know, I mean, figure troughs of water going opposite, and then troughs of water going opposite at a 90-degree angle to that. Alternately and opposite, you'll see that you develop enough eddies to be chaos. And that's what they have. You'll find out that an automobile has to be on the street 3 or 4 times as long because of such a system, which increases their traffic automatically and immediately 3 or 4 times. Okay. Simple. I've got a good system there for automobile traffic. Why don't they just build the same system of roads out here in some of the Pennsylvania wasteland? And so on, and so the cars won't have to drive up and down those particular streets, and this would solve their traffic problem. Anyway, well, that's as real as any solution the Ford Foundation come up with. Maybe it's a better one. It has motion in it. No, nobody will come up with that solution. It has motion in it. Also, it takes other space. I know what you'd have to do. You'd have to put, if you could invent another space now to go in immediately coincident with all these one-way streets, and have the automobiles drive in that space, and the pedestrians walk in that space simultaneously, and then all the shopping be done in that space, and then have all the letters and mail and packages and truck deliveries flowing in the same space. You could put this on a piece of paper, I'm sure, and draw it up very nicely and submit it to the Philadelphia Planning Board, and they'd buy it. Gee, I hate to think what your salary would be of putting that thing into operation. Be fabulous. Fabulous. That's called the collapse space traffic system. Well, on gradient scales, you don't have too much to know, but I'm afraid you have to be smart to do a good gradient scale work. Here's the general law is, if you find something free clear can't do, you make him do it. You can always make him do anything on a gradient scale. Anything. Never occurred to anybody to work with somebody's mock-ups on a gradient scale. I did one time. I turned mock-ups on, worked on Sonic on a gradient scale. Had him listen to a pin that wasn't there and hadn't dropped. He agreed with me that he could hit it. And we went from there. We went right straight on up the line and back-checked any time he failed. And the next thing you know, he had on his Sonic. I was doing this in Essence about 5 years ago, by the way. He used to ask a guy to get a lock he could finally hear, perceive, feel, turn them on one way or the other, and then run some engrams. It was a lot of work. It took a lot of care. We didn't have gradient scale rules under it for a little while, and all of a sudden, you see, gradient scales is older, much, much older than the first book. It was a principle I've been working with for about 15, 16 years. One of the primary principles of the universe. I don't think this universe could have been built if it weren't for gradient scales. In other words, in order for it to get this bad, you can run it on a gradient scale of being practically perfect. See? All right. These odds and ends of technique. I mean, this tremendous number of snap the fingers and there it goes sort of technique. You know, just tons of these things. Now, I see somebody wearing glasses or something like that. Nah. Tell me this morning about glasses. Somebody ought to run that on these people. I ain't trouble. It's not much trouble to run. Sometimes with glasses takes a lot of it. But again, you have, in any function of the body, please, please see this. Any function of the body, you've got an automatic machine going. How do you get the Satan to improve it? Get him so he can make one. Then he can repair one. If he can't make one, he can't repair one. He's got to be able to make one, not a shadow of it. He's got to make one that works. Then he can repair the dickens out of anything he's got. How do you think somebody's going to run a Thetan so that he makes his body beautiful or something of the sort when he can't mock up a beautiful body? He can't even get that close to a beautiful body. Not going to do it, that's all. All right, what would you go in for to take off somebody's glasses? Well, you must realize that nobody's looking with his messed eyes anyhow. Somebody's approximating the space and parallel the messed eyes with a couple of viewpoints, and these viewpoints are over the lenses, and he's happily looking at back. What do you do with the gradient scales? You have to put a couple of viewpoints on the eyes and then just look with his messed eyes. That's easy. Now have him run a couple of optic nerves in these viewpoints and have him be out in the center of the room and look through the optic nerves. He'll see the same thing. Now have him run these optic nerves much further, much longer, and tangle them up in the scenery and get them around someplace and look through them again. And he can see the same thing. He gets just as strong a vision, if not stronger, than he had with his messed eyes. With his messed eyes keep on seeing, you understand. Then you keep mocking these things up and throwing them away and damaging them and ruining the optic nerves and damaging everything again and putting these viewpoints in, his vision will get better and better. Nothing to this technique. A viewpoint's ordinarily, if they even think so, is a little disc. And that's sitting right in front of a guy's eyes. And each eye got one of these discs in. You can actually have manipulate these viewpoints completely independent of the eyeballs. This is a very surprising thing to do, too. You can make him hold his eyes dead front and shift the viewpoints just independently to the left and right. He all of a sudden picks up double vision. Or you can make him, the easier way to do it is to have him shut his eyes and put the viewpoints out in front of the lid. And he all of a sudden finds himself seeing just as well as he does with his messed eyes, although his messed eyes are shut. This is very upsetting. Now, here you have a simple problem. It's the problem of the mechanics, is how does the Thetan go about it? And I am not at this moment going to even vaguely pretend to start telling you at this stage particularly, if you had another 5 or 6 years, we could go into the subject of how does a Thetan make everything? It's just about that lengthy of subject. How does he make everything? How does he make this, and how could he make that, and how would he do this, and how did he do that? Just on mechanics. How do you go about building a body so it has 6 toes instead of 5 toes? Or how do you just make a body with 5 toes? Let's get your perception system that's hooked into the body. This, in essence, is very simple. But does any of it belong to the body at all? Well, not one single cockeyed bit of it. These guys go around worrying about their body's eyesight. And, of course, the more they worry about their body's eyesight, the worse their body's eyesight gets. It can't help but get worse because it's not doing the looking. Should be kind of obvious. But eyesight drills, such as that given on the Bates Perfect Sight Without Glasses, if you take that all the frills out of that, such as cupping the hands for 24 hours looking at the sun for 5 minutes and turning handsprings while holding one eye on Mary Baker Eddy or something like that. I don't know. These are a lot of exercises. You shouldn't have to do all those exercises. If you just take the basic part of the system, which is the fact that you practice looking at things, you know, you very often will turn on somebody's eyesight. Doctors, opticians who practice this system have machines that cross X's and all sorts of things. They make different field distortions and so on. And they make people do various exercises with their eyes by looking at these machines. In other words, they practice looking till they key things out. That's about all it is. The doctor keeps insisting that they can look, and they keep handling this machine on a gradient scale, if you please. And they eventually come into possession of the automaticity which makes them look. For instance, nobody would even suspect how elementary the perception system is. Hearing points. Well, you can throw hearing points and oral nerves all the way around, A-U-R-A-L, all the way around the room and bring them back down the hall and up into the center of the room again and listen at the ends of them. And the sound is coming through them. You can take a hearing point and throw it out into the street. You can hear things going on up and down out in the street. Nothing to it. Somebody leaves one of these hearing points around outside his body and forgets about it and throws a few more around so that he forgets about it and puts a few out in the street so he forgets about it. And the next thing you know, he has voices talking to him. His engram bank and so forth will start to relay itself on these hearing points. And all sorts of weird things will start happening. Of course, psychiatry says that people who hear voices inside their heads are sane, and people who hear voices outside their heads are insane. They've made this classification, I'm very glad to know, because the people who have so little space as to be only able to put a hearing point inside the head are stark, staring, screwy. The people who could put them around outside the head would be in pretty good shape. You can tell this just by looking at people who can do it. Well, now, when a person sees, so when a thetan sees, it's a sort of an outgoing radar proposition. It isn't an effect. If the body saw, it would be an effect. If the thetan sees, it would be a sort of cause thing. Because he's got to put the rays out that he sees with, if he's going to use rays to see, which he doesn't have to do. Now, the next thing is the hearing is definitely much more of an effect than seeing. But as far as the body is concerned, the bombardment of electrons, reflected surfaces, and that sort of thing, hitting the eyes, why, sure enough, the sight is an effect. But for a thetan, it is not. A body sight, you have an effect. But a thetan's sight is not an effect. All right, hearing points are really definitely an effect. Hearing points. So you pick up this guy and you got him out in the middle of the room someplace and you all of a sudden tell him to listen. You start telling him to put up hearing points on the ears and you have a much tougher time. Why? He has to be willing to accept somebody else's space before he can accept an effect. He runs space on him in gradient scales till he finally gets over fear of somebody else invading his space. And he can hear. Sonic off is only a manifestation of somebody having mislaid a couple of hearing points. About all, or he's very unwilling for anybody to enter his space or be in anybody else's space. Problem in space, basically. Not a problem in space? What's the problem?
Location.
That's a problem in space.
Not have locations
around
in space.
That's right. But you wouldn't be listening if you were only on a location with no space. You could listen to yourself.
You need space to listen to the ears, but not the
other
one.
That's what I'm talking about, ears.
Oh, the ears.
Hearing points. Hearing points only. The handling of hearing points. Sonic is off when you have hearing points off. I'm talking about immediately here, just to let's get into present time. I'm talking immediately about how a thetan mocks up a body so that he can pretend he's using it exclusively for everything under the sun, moon, or stars. See? He gets his hearing points by putting a couple of his own hearing points over the eardrums. He gets his seeing by putting a couple of his own seeing points over the outside of the eyes. He gets his feeling points wherever he wants through the body by putting his own feeling points in the tips of the fingers, up the arms, and so forth, and over the body. He strings himself together a network which approximates the body's network and which is not the body's network. It's real cute. Real cute trick. He doesn't use anything the body has. And this begins to make it very doubtful. It makes it very doubtful whether or not he needs a body. He doesn't use the body's energy. When he starts using the body's energy, he gets into poor condition. He doesn't need it. And he doesn't use it. When he says, I'm using the body's energy, and I only have energy as a being if I eat, something like that, this is a thought that he can use or will use the body's energy. And he isn't doing any such thing. But of course, the body can have a cross influence because he's got all sorts of points and contact points all through the body. Now, you could take somebody so he will get all the perception there is to get inside a body and outside the body. And when he does this, mocks up his own points to coincide with all these other things that the body is doing and feeling and everything, you'll get the doggondest royal mass of material coming over the wires. It's almost an incredible jumble. Anytime, any place, you got this huge jumble. The body's got thermal, has taste and smell independent, and so on. And if you started to just hearken to all of these perceptions simultaneously and so forth, you get an interesting situation. All you have to do is stand somebody up, you know, and just tell them to look around the room, and while you're pinching them a little bit in the arm, you tell them to feel that and look at the same time, and they'll go, faint on you if you're not careful. You've asked the thetan to do more than he can do in his current state. Yeah, but if he's in real good shape, he could do a dozen of them at a time and keep track of all of them. You underestimate the ability of the thetan to perceive. But he has to be willing to take an effect. So that sure tells you what to do with somebody who is unable to get sonic as a thetan. He gets out in the room, he doesn't hear anything. He's still using the messed ears. Well, you just put space on him. Other people's space, other people's space, other people's space, other people's space, and pong, crash, bang. There are undoubtedly faster ways of doing this, but that's a sure one. And you have Papa putting space on him, and Mama putting space on him, and somebody else putting space on him, and them putting space on other people. So what? For the purpose of listening? No. If you just knock out the basic objections to anybody else in operating any space, you find this person is normally very allergic to somebody else's space and doesn't want to appear in space which is being put around him by somebody else. And thus we get a situation where our general behavior is monitored, basically, by unwillingness to be an effect and unwillingness to be a cause. Now, when a thetan is very unwilling to be a cause, let's take it up one from there. He's more willing to be an effect than he is to be a cause. When a thetan is unwilling to be a cause, he can't sit out in the middle of the room and make a voice sound. Can't do it. Bad off. Can't do it. And because he's unwilling to put out sound. At first he'll be sure he can't do it, and then he'll go back up to. He realizes that this is a dangerous thing to do any day of the week. Dangerous. Every time I told somebody to do this, I have always got the distinct feeling that some slight pressure had been put on to the emergency brakes. We are about to go too far with this. The immediate reaction. Might get in trouble, things might happen, very bad, very bad. To be locatable. Well, what kind of shape do you think a thetan's in who has to be worried about being located? Well, it tells you he's convinced he's in this kind of shape, that he is unable to create an effect, a dangerous effect, upon somebody else. He can't use force on somebody else, so therefore he has to stay hidden. And the more convinced he is that he can't use force, the more he has to stay hidden. So to rehabilitate his force, where you rehabilitate his willingness to be caused, back and forth the other way. Relatively easy problem. But again, this is a problem of using gradient scales.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
You can do anything with him with gradient scales. And getting the idea, just making a noise without being in a body, the first idea is simply this, that he can make a noise without a body. That's the first entrance to it, the idea. And then the next point of it is getting rid of the idea needs machinery to do it, such as vocal cords and all that sort of thing. Next idea that he needs other things in which to vibrate these sound waves. We go on this way for some distance. And he eventually drops all that sham and pretense, begins to realize how you can do it. Naturally, he's being restrained all this time by a fear of being located. And that is the fear that is a fear of fear. Afraid of being located is about the fastest way you can state what basic fear is. Afraid to be afraid of being located. Afraid he will be afraid of being located is the underpinning subject. After a while, he's just afraid to be located. And then after a while, he damn well isn't going to be located. He's sure invisible. After that, he stays pretty invisible. Let me assure you, on this gradient scale of zero, that Thetan is not invisible. But let me assure you at the same time that if you suddenly started getting visible Thetans, you'd certainly have a little bit of a problem with a society which is far gone on religion, is liable to stampede. They wouldn't come in for treatment. They'd come in for blessings. Everybody in space opera has had the experience, I am sure, of setting up as a god on some planet. It's a dull game, real dull. You get these ignorant aborigines, and you have them beating tom-toms and coming around to the hut and bowing low with great adulation. After a while, you get so much adulation, your equipment melts and you're done. Generally, what happens, you get to fighting amongst, they get to fighting amongst themselves, and over the loot that's being collected, because there's only 8 billion inhabitants on the planets they've just enslaved, and of course there isn't enough loot for these five guys. One time I wrote a story, a long time ago, about one like this, where we had a split up on a planet. This is a long time ago, I'm not kidding you. And we had a split up like this, and we had the guys with political ambitions of various kinds and considerations, and they split up this planet and had the aborigines around there digging with a hot machine gun. And they finally got everything. Each one of them got himself consolidated and then tried to consolidate the whole planet under his political system and rule, all except one guy who was an awful bum. And this bum wandered around from village to village and didn't do very much, and didn't set himself up as anything, and he didn't accomplish anything. And at the end of the story, of course, the planet was more or less in ruins, and all three empires had caved in because the natives themselves had revolted, unified, and so on, and put everybody down, and they looked around then to find out who would rule them, and they got this fellow who had never done a thing, and they put him up in the palace, and he sat there and never did a thing, and everybody was happy. Wasn't very popular. Anyway, everybody thinks you have to do something in order to motion. That's the thing to engage in. Well, you get the Thetan who gets ambitious with the body. Now, he gets real ambitious. He doesn't know what he's doing with his body. He hasn't any idea what he's doing with the body. He's forgotten what he's been up to, and he's running on all automatic machinery, and so he merely grabs a body and then waits for something to happen. It happens, all right. He doesn't have visio, and he doesn't have sonic, and he doesn't have good perception, and he gets all snarled up. He just forgets what to do, that's all. And we get the other one who gets this body all duded up one way or the other and straightens it all out this way and that and hauls and pulls and gets energy strung all over the thing. And then he goes along in life and he hits a few reverses and he's using this body as a projectile. And then he starts using the body as a protective bullet mat and bullet collision mat. And he starts using it one way or the other for this and that. And next thing you know, he decides he can't do anything about it, and he's not responsible for it anymore, and he just sits there. Well, if he just sat there in the first place, he'd just been fine. He'd been well off. But there isn't any reason why he should be sitting there. He does not need a body to perceive, since all the perception which he is doing being done by him. You have to learn that, I'm afraid, subjectively. It sounds incredible. There you sit, you've got eyes, and you're seeing with them. You got a taster, a wonderful mechanism, and you're feeling with them. You should suspect that what I'm telling you is true, for the good reason that the medical profession studies entirely the neurons of the body. And that doesn't lead anyplace. It's a dead end. Nobody is going to get anywhere studying the neurons of the body. Now, when the thetan gets these eyes start to deteriorate, and they get the thetan gets the idea that he can't see through these eyes anymore, well, it becomes very fabulous. He can't see, therefore he's blind. So he takes down his anchor points and puts them in his pocket. That's all. That's all it amounts to. He just doesn't walk up any more anchor points. He lets the body go blind rather than otherwise. Somebody's blinded one way or the other. You'll generally find back of blindness some tremendous overt act, like which you never heard of. If they wanted to see again, he'd simply pick out. You got to make him waste viewpoints and then finally drop a couple of viewpoints over the eyes and look with them. It's very, very funny. It's actually amusing watching one of these people under treatment, under processing. They squirm and they twist around and they squint and they try to go to see, they're going to see, and they don't realize that they just ought to relax, because when you get up there and cure in a case of blindness, what you're going to do, you're going to have them walking up viewpoints and throwing away viewpoints and wasting viewpoints and then getting them by the ton and squashing them up and wasting eyes, wasting all kinds of things. About halfway through this, they tell you all of a sudden, well, that's what I'm doing all the time, every minute of the time, all I'm doing, and the only reason I'm blind is because I'm wasting a viewpoint. That's right. They suddenly realize that. You have to go on a little bit further and have them create viewpoints, test them and look with them, and at length have them drop a couple over the fronts of the eyes and they'll see again. It's very silly. What are they doing, though, patching up a pair of eyes? This is very silly. Eyes are kind of dull. They're kind of aesthetic sometimes. I used to think it'd be a wonderful idea to get some goat's eyes painted on these plastic lenses, you know, and put them on some freak player sometime when he was asleep. Wake up and look in the glass and find himself with yellow and green vertical slitted eyes. Now, the marvel of all this, the glasses do him any good. That's what's marvelous. He can actually rig up its anchor point, and then somebody can grind some kind of a piece of mess for him to look through, and his eyesight will get better. Well, don't run any funny little tricks on people with glasses, because there are too many tricks you can run on. You can shift their eyesight around, not with processing, but just by odds and ends of distortion. You can give them a pair of glasses. Well, if you just take a pair of glasses, you find some glasses lying around sometime, you can just pull them out of the hot water tap. They're in celluloid, you know. You know these monitor glasses? Oh, whenever I see one, a pair of those lying around, I fix them up with good. Anyway, just hold them out of the water tap until the material is just a little bit, a little softer, you know, a little expanded, and then just take the lens and reverse it. You know, just spin it, right? And it's, just spin it one half turn, right in its lens case. Just swap the lenses. Person never notices the difference. They don't notice the difference. That's all. And then after a while, their eyesight is altered. Their eyesight is just fixed to agree with mess. Now, somebody discovered this out in California, and he was putting opposite distortion sunglasses. You know, get the prescription and then go 180 degrees the opposite way from the prescription and distort the dickens out of it so that they were distorted in the opposite direction, and then cut down that prescription until the eye came back to zero, making the eye agree now to this other. Well, that just makes the eye agree more to the lens. So it's not workable. No mist works as a therapy. So your construction mechanisms on the body are actually what you might call thetan anatomy. It is a branch of anatomy which has never been studied and has never been looked at, and which doesn't belong in medicine, because it's what you see through and feel through, hear through. Now, we're not studying anatomy, even vaguely. We're not studying the anatomy of the human body. There's no point in this. And we are actually looking over how a spirit sees, feels, and hears. Now, it's a remarkable thing that you can put a viewpoint any place, but when a person is accustomed to putting viewpoints all over the place, they're generally scared and running away. You know, they use viewpoints, 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 viewpoints. Well, gosh, you start them out on some kind of a looking tour of something or other, and they get in very foul shape because they keep looking at viewpoints, not at that. Now, we had PC here not too long ago. He says, you know, every time I look at that thing, I seem to be looking at something that is looking at something. Or I'm not quite sure. I'm not there. I'm looking at where it is. So on. This is just viewpoint problem. They think that if some other thetan sailed along, you'd get into this mirror maze of looking into viewpoints sufficiently so they wouldn't be found. They don't realize that there aren't any around these days to amount to anything. You have to bring a thetan up to the point where he's willing to be cause, where he's willing to be an effect, and then willing to be cause, probably several times before he actually gets able. But there is the root. The root is using space at this time and with the materials what we're handling at this time. There's the root. We do have a root that does this, because I have done this with pre-clears. That's what's important. Now, how far north can a thetan go? I don't know. I haven't any idea how far north they go. I found out pretty well how far south they go. I went down the graveyard the other day. But how far north can he go? I don't know. I haven't got any idea. I know we just kept using these various techniques that we have, kept drilling in one way or the other. They always get better. They always get more able. But where they want to really get lost, they'll grab in all kinds of things and try to get themselves lost again. Get him up over the idea that he has to be invisible, that he has to be lost. And you've really taken him some points. They come up to that point probably 3, 4, 5 times and back off each time and don't want to go on through the wall of fire. What? All of a sudden start talking in the middle of the street saying, how you say, how's crops? No, something bad had happened if they did that. Don't put out any actual energy, just put out some pictures or something. Now, somebody around here, after a while, will probably get tough enough to bust through all this, and probably this nice, pleasant, peaceful civilization will come all to pieces. But I hope you realize that making the thetan better and taking him all the way north is a gradient scale proposition. One other thing that we should cover is self-determinism with relation to a thetan. Is a thetan plays just like anybody else, the I'm there, I'm not there, sort of a proposition. Just like any body, any thetan plus body, any homo sapiens, I mean a step one who's gone well on up, well, we'll play through on this, only he starts playing it on this inversion, that inversion, it keeps coming apart. Self-determinism does not happen to consist of just one. As a matter of fact, that's an automatic blocker, as you can see. A person does not have sonic if he's unwilling to accept somebody else's space. You solve that by having big mock-ups of him while he's exteriorized, of people dropping space around him, him dropping space around people, and other brackets of space like we had a little earlier in the course. That solves it. People pushing space in on him, him pushing space in on people, and so forth. This is a solution. Don't duck away from one of these before it's finished off completely. You'll find out that there is a tacit consent amongst auditors, which is very bad. And if two auditors are both short on space, they won't audit space on each other. That's just exactly what they ought to do. Space brackets, while exteriorized, is fabulous and horrible. While exteriorized, space brackets are horrible. That's grimly. So, but it's the one thing with which the Thetan has identified himself. And by golly, he's got to get all over the idea that he's identified with any kind of space, including his own. The only way I know of, actually, to get him over that idea in a hurry, so forth, is to run space brackets on him till he's so goddamn sick of anchor points that then he's so happy about anchor points that he finally comes up and says, what the hell am I using anchor points for? And that's the route out which has been working consistently with PCs. But I notice there's lots of auditors who don't like to use this. Those are generally ones that don't like to have any more space dropped on them. That's all. Now you find out something happens on exteriorization, on that I'm there-ness and I'm not there-ness, as you push a person on a tone scale. You'll find that the person evidently has gone up through the tone scale as a body plus thing. Gone up through the tone scale. And then you pick him up at -8 as a thetan and start him up the tone scale as a thetan. You get this? You run the whole range of tone scale as we understand it, which is the educated, visible, pacified, civilized thetan plus body. And the second we start running somebody up the tone scale, he gets into a mix-up from, as he exteriorizes and starts up from 8, he starts to get into a mix-up on self-determinism. And he starts to run self-determinism on the first dynamic. First. Only. And self-determinism to him consists of, well, if I want it, and you want it too, then you're dead. This to him is the way he goes about it. Now, he is in a relatively safe position as long as he is invisible, and as long as he has taken no responsibility for anything. There is a narrow band, but because he's taken no responsibility for anything, he'll duck back into the body at the snap of the fingers. His case will go to pieces and his perception will turn off. Any time that he's left up there in that invisible state, I don't dare hear myself think, I mustn't think of where I am, or somebody else may know too. I have to be oriented by other anchor points and by anchor points, and so on, leave him in that state where he's just hanging fire there in the middle. You're just asking for it because he hasn't taken any responsibility. You put him up through the first open dynamic when you put him through 1. And then you put him through 2, but you're on the way north this time, and you're on the way on the plus side. You put him through 1. You find run from -8 to 1 while he's there, very invisible. And then you put him through from 0 to 1, and for the first time, he gets up into a plus dynamic. And here, from 0 to 1, he turns on what? Apathy, antagonism, boredom, enthusiasm, serenity. He runs the tone scale. And you're going to wonder, what in God's green earth is the matter with some of these step ones? They go absolutely batty. It doesn't take long to run it. They run fast. But they will go right on up the tone scale, and they'll hit from -8 up to 0, and then they will turn on right side up the first dynamic. Well, they get combative as hell. They get their ears knocked back a few times, and they'll go down into the -8 scale, and they will eventually go tumbling back into the body. This will happen over and over and over if the guy is not smart enough to run himself. Actually, because the thetan who can't run himself when he's up that high on the tone scale isn't worth shooting. So, you invert 1, then please, 2, then please, 3, then 4, then 5, then 6, and 7, 8. You think by the time he's reached 8, of course, he's God by that time. If you do, you're thinking about it from the bottom of the tone scale of body plus thetan. He doesn't. He merely gets a command of the 8 dynamics and his responsibility along these dynamics. He can operate then as an individual who is capable of resolving the problems with which he is confronted. Probably for the first time. And there's a full responsibility. Now, you're going to find, invariably, that you will be criticized as an auditor, and that people will criticize Scientology, because after a person is pushed up the line just so far by an auditor, and so on, then he starts to run up the minus tone scale or the lower inversions just below, the positive tone scale. The thetan is going all the way up the tone scale. I refer to you as a Scientology 8008, the minus tone scale. Thetan is down there below minus 8 when he's exteriorized by ordinary. He's negatively there. Now you start up the line, exteriorize him, he goes right on up past the body's behavior level. You want to know how thetan would act if you finally got him up to the educated body plus thetan stimulus response person, which he was before he was audited. He'll act worse as a thetan because he got more power to act with. He'll act worse. He wants sympathy, and he'll go into grief about this and that, and he'll hit fear. He'll hit the whole gamut because he's got a lot of this way, but he hits it fast. He can run that tone scale real fast while a person's exteriorizing because it's actually the shifting postulates. But there are reasons why he won't shift the postulates. If you don't shift the postulates, help him shift them out when he's real low on the scale. Then he'll suddenly realize, if he has any education in this at all, that he can invert these things all the way up. But he becomes more volatile in his emotions rather than less. And he becomes a beast to live with, and if anybody can capture him and put him back in a jar again, I realize why this whole universe got started the way it did. Okay.